following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Lifestyle 360 with host Nicole Monier. Our program is all about getting you in tune with your health, fitness, emotions, relationships, successes, and failures. All of this can give you a better life when you keep them in check. Now, here is your host, Nicole Monier.
Good morning. I'm Nicole Monier, your host of Lifestyle 360. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we are going to be talking about overcoming addiction, a second chance lifestyle. And I have my guest, Ben Booker. He's a husband, a father, an entrepreneur of Second Chance Lifestyle, and a bodybuilding.com athlete. He's going to share with us his life story on alcohol and overcoming his addiction. Ben's emotional, mental, and physical development was put on hold when alcohol took a strong hold on his life. After reaching a point where he lost control and it wasn't fun to drink anymore, Ben had hit his rock bottom. He then got a second chance and turned his life around for the better by changing his lifestyle. He thanks God every day and does not regret his past, for it has shaped him into who he is today. So I think this is a great topic, and I'm so happy that Ben is sharing his story. It takes a lot of courage for, you know, people to get on and share some of the struggles they've been through. But what it's really about is that addiction is all about helping yourself. And if you can help yourself and then go out and help other people help themselves, that's really what a lot of it is about. And I think so many of us are affected by addiction, whether, you know, you're listening and maybe you're an addict now and you're struggling. You know, hopefully, you know, something with Ben, you know, is going to inspire you and motivate you and help you in your path and your journey. Or maybe you're kind of on my end of it, where I was married and my ex-husband was an alcoholic, and this is in no way to bash him. I wouldn't have married him if he wasn't a good person, but this is just my own personal journey. And, you know, when you're living with an addict, that becomes the priority, the addiction. And so whether you're a significant other, whether you're a parent, you're a child watching your parent, a sibling, or a close friend that you're seeing go through an addiction, it's definitely something that, you know, unfortunately, no matter how much you love that person, you know, you want to help them. And really what it's about them being able to help themselves. So I want to bring Ben on now. Ben, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor being here.
Well, I'm so glad you could join us and share your story. It's, you know, I've been all over your website looking at it, studying at it, and there's a lot I've learned. You know, there's a lot I knew about you before, but then there's a lot I didn't, and very touched by your story. And, you know, again, hoping that a lot of the listeners today will be touched by your story as well. So I'd kind of like to start from the beginning with your auto accident at age 17, if you kind of want to start there and tell us, share with us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll even back up a little bit to just give you a little background of who I was growing up. I think for many people, addicts especially, they, you know, for me, speaking for myself, there was always kind of a void. I never kind of fit in with a crowd. Felt kind of I was always in between, you know, groups of friends. I just had this feeling of not belonging. You know, grade school all the way to junior high. And then even in fourth grade, it started back then. I had a bad stuttering problem, so terrified that the teacher would call on me. I'd be sitting there, and if they called on me, I might go into a stuttering fit. So it goes clear back to fourth, fifth, sixth grade, which is amazing how God moves, because now I spoke to Nellis Air Force Base on commander calls. I'm able to speak in front of crowds now, thankfully to God, but I still stutter every now and again. So leading up and growing up, I always had that feeling of not belonging, which led me to my experience with alcohol. Back when I was in seventh grade, I had my first kind of drunk that I always tell people it gave me a sense of belonging, which was a false sense of worth. But we sat on the side of my house. Parents went to bed, and my sister, she was kind of upset because her friends came over late one night, and they had 40s, and we sat on the side of the house, and I drank with them, and man, did I feel important. I felt accepted. I even think my stuttering went away for a little bit, so that gave me a good sense of belonging. And since I remember this feeling that kind of overcame once I would consume alcohol, that I was kind of able to be someone else, able to fit in with a crowd. I kind of became a chameleon, and whoever I was with, I kind of adjusted for that scenario. So clear back in seventh grade, that was my story, so it became a big part of my life. So leading up to when I was 17 years old, I was out driving with friends, drinking and driving. Here in central Illinois, we thought hitting the country roads was the way to go, so we hit the country roads, drove around, and I got in a wreck. I had three people with me. Thank God that I was the worst hurt. I got ejected. I broke my back, third and fourth lumbar, and I was sentenced to bed rest for 2 months. So I went from about 170-pound high school senior to 135 pounds when I got out of bed rest.
Wow.
And it was a challenging time. It was a very tough time in my life. I missed my complete senior year of sports. My parents had to take care of me. My mom, which is a nurse, she had to, you know, sponge bath me, and it was very humbling. But back to kind of your topic of how it affects a family, how it affects children, family, siblings. Now, I was 17 at the time, but when I did get sober in 20, when I was 24, I did have to, you know, recognize and own up to some of those mistakes and how I affected other people, and it was a learning process. So I had to apologize to my parents and a lot of other people for putting them through what I put them through. But even when I was 17, I broke my back. I was in bed rest. That didn't quit me. That didn't make me stop drinking. I thought it was the curve in the road that gave me the wreck. It was me turning up the music. You know, it was always something else. And that's kind of a common theme with alcoholism, addiction. You can justify anything and make it not what it truly is, which is alcoholism or the alcohol that really caused the problem. And that's a reoccurring theme, I think, in many people's lives.
So for like, again, a lot of addicts live in denial in the beginning, but when did you have that point that you actually were able to say, oh crap, this is me and I have a problem? Or did you always think deep down there's a problem, but yeah, you know what, I'm going to use this as an excuse, or like you're saying, like, oh, blame it on this, blame it on that?
Right. Yeah. Right. Nicole, you're exactly right. I think for an addict, for an alcoholic, for someone that has that, there always is a denial before they sober up, if they can and if they will. It's got to become willing, which I wasn't willing, but I had deep down, I always knew that the root of all of my problems was alcohol, and a process of trying to control drinking from the time I was 17 years old on until I quit drinking. That process of trying to control it set forth, and I just knew, you know, I'd wake up, I'd regret, I'm sorry, I don't know where my car's at, whether it was a blackout or what I did that was stupid. It was always regretting and not understanding why I couldn't quit. Why I know these things aren't good. I know that I have I'm a good person when I'm not drinking. I try not to make bad decisions and based off common sense. So why am I drinking so much that's making me do, you know, ignorant things? And so it was the point of when my wife finally, and she didn't mean to say that it was because of my drinking. She just said something's got to change. She wasn't, you know, expecting once we got married that I was going to be like this. So at that moment of her saying that, you know, it was kind of that aha moment. It was the moment I look back now, and it was like a flash in my life of me sitting on a bar stool when I was, you know, because I had a daughter at the time. She was 4 months old, and I could picture me weekends with her only, and I'm sitting at a bar stool, and I just voiced what I've been speaking about for so many years, which is what I think so many addicts and so many alcoholics is the first step of just simply voicing that you have a problem. So when I voiced to her, I said, I have to quit drinking. Shockingly, in a process, a journey be set forth. There was almost like a weight that, you know, a lot of crying, a lot of kind of not knowing what the next steps were as a family, because just because I'm alcoholic doesn't mean it's not affecting my wife and my children and everyone around me. I mean, it was a part of who I was. I was the life of the party. I was a drinker. I didn't know how to be anything other than that, you know, and I think that's tough for so many people that's caught up in it is, what is the next step? How do you go from a place of getting completely controlled by that substance to all of a sudden not controlled by it because you have, now you're trying to do a life without it. And it's scary because it's an unknown. You depended on it for emotional, mental, spiritual, even physical sense. Sometimes, you know, people are so caught up in it, it's all they know and it's all they have. And they think there's no way out, or they think they just can't do it. And it does take a moment. Everybody has their own bottom. It could be just as simple as mine, or it could be much, much deeper. But the bottom line is there is hope. And I think that's what people should understand, that, you know, I'm a testimony of it. I think there are so many people out there that have overcome, and it is a process, and it can be scary, but it's worth it. And no matter who you are, where you come from, you can overcome addiction. You can overcome alcoholism. It's just a part in a process that starts with voicing the fact that maybe you do have a problem.
Yeah, no, exactly. Admitting it first versus living in denial. And how many other people outside your wife had come to you saying, hey, you know what, you got a problem? Was there anybody else, you know, beating you over the head, like your parents or your sister or anybody?
You know, I was a pretty good concealer of the back. You know what I mean? I think many of us are. You can kind of hide. And of course, I look back now, I wasn't as good as I think I was. But what happens is, for me, I just surround myself with people that kind of supported what I was doing. I tried to, you know, manipulate situations that were in my advantage, you know. Look back, I mean, I didn't have a weekend that I didn't drink. I didn't have an event that I didn't drink. I didn't have, you know, I was scheduled around a bar or around when I could drink. Every night at 3:30, you know, I usually drink. It was just one of those things. And it wasn't a lot of people coming at me. It was an internal knowledge of knowing what I was doing was not right and trying to control it. I tell people there was a time in my life, there was a line that I crossed where it stopped from being fun to trying to control it. And, you know, of course there were some great times that I had and we partied. I had great times. But then all of a sudden, I was not looking forward to going out drinking. Underneath, I was saying, oh, man, how am I going to not get so drunk? How am I not going to, you know, do something stupid? How am I going to try to control it this time? You know, that's when it really starts to take over your life. And that's when I knew sooner than later I was probably going to have to do something about it, but I didn't realize what that was going to be. Thankful to God and to, you know, a 12-step program and my wife. Oh my God, she still to today she brings me back down. I get a little ahead of myself with all the stuff I got going on, but you know, I have three children today, a great marriage that because of having, you know, God first in our life, we experience a new kind of love that I didn't even know existed. It's just an unbelievable life, and I still don't, because I am an alcoholic. I do have to, you know, stay grounded, live one day at a time, and understand that just like good things, bad things, right around the corner as well. So you've got to stay ahead of it. You've got to stay, you know, in your life. My pastor said it once, like our spirits and our person, our underlying need for something, it's like a vacuum. So our soul, they're like a like a vacuum, always sucking in, and you can't stop that. So whether you surround yourself with good people or bad people, or fill yourself up with people around you that bring out the best in you, that's going to suck in, and you're going to fill up with goodness, or if you're around bad stuff, you're going to fill up with that bad stuff, and sooner or later, maybe do something that you regret. So I try to surround myself with great people. I try to continually work on being a better person as a father, as a husband, business owner, as a, you know, all of those things that takes work, and it's not something that just comes overnight, but man, is it worth it when things start clicking.
Yeah, no, I love everything you're saying and totally agree with it. And that's something that I've had to do a lot of work on myself and even with my clients, teaching them how to kind of not just detoxify their bodies with, you know, the good foods and good habits, but even, you know, the good relationships. But we have to take a break. So when we come back, more with Ben Booker.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
Are you taking full advantage of all the lessons that your life is trying to teach you? These lessons are the building blocks of who you are and who you will ultimately become. On Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, host John Earle will show you how to discover your life's lessons and how to use these lessons to transform your life into a deeper and more profound experience. Discover the meaning of your existence. Tune in to Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You're listening to Lifestyle 360. To reach Nicole Monier or today's guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Nicole at NicoleMonier.com. Now, back to Lifestyle 360.
And we are here today with Ben Booker, and we're talking about overcoming addiction, a second chance lifestyle. And we were just talking about how part of that is also kind of cleaning up not just, you know, the habits in your life, but also even the people that you surround yourself with. You know, if the hardest part of addiction, I can't say that Ben can, but, you know, in addiction, it's like you hang around with certain people. You hang around with those people that drink or do whatever it is that you're addicted to. So I kind of want to talk about how you have your journey even with, like, your friends. Are you still friends with all those people that you used to party with, and how has that changed, if at any? And even how you said that you're always looking to better yourself and improve yourself, and even your journey into bodybuilding and how that's helped you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's a journey and it's a process, just like in life with sobriety, taking it down. It's what's changed my life dramatically is the ability to take it one day at a time, not looking too far in the future, and keeping the most important priorities right in front of you, understanding that that's really who you are, not the outside influences. So when it comes to when I had to redo my life, which is basically what personally
redo your life, that's like, that's big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So true.
You have to take an inventory of yourself. And friends, listen, I had many acquaintances. I had many people that they were there when I was. We had great times together. But as far as great friends, man, I have and still have those great friends that stick around. You learn who those are once you kind of enter into that new path, a new journey. What I did have to do was kind of refocus solely on me and my relationship with God and who I was through that relationship. It's a very important factor, I think, with sobering up. Is it's almost being selfish, but listen, without me, I'm not a good husband. Without making me right first, I'm not a good father. Without making me better, there is none of that. There's none of relationships. There's no good relationships. There's always a unhealthy aspect to it. So in order for me to become healthy and my family to become healthy, it starts with me. So that was the first thing that I learned. Listen, you've got to get rid of everything and everything that's going on, people, places, and things, even if it's just for a month, a week, whatever it is. For me personally, it was about 3 months. I had to go into a process of relearning emotional, mental, spiritual, even physical growth, how I dealt with situations, how I handled emotional, which really...
I want to talk on that, important that you say that, because how you handle things emotionally, and for a lot of men and for a lot of women, they stuff it down deep and they don't want to access it. And again, that's a part of covering it up with whatever they're addicted to. But two things I wanted to ask you. One, was God always in your life, or did you turn to him after you had, first said, hey, you know what, I have a problem, I want to fix it? And then let's talk about that first. I want to find out.
Yeah, first, that's a great question. I had a faith that there was a God. I knew that God existed, and I grew up in a church that, yeah, I sat in a pew and I went to church. But what I did not have was a true relationship with him and an understanding of how he lives in me and how he works through me. So the relationship started once I became sober. So if that makes sense, I had a belief, I understood that there's a God, but until I started really understanding, which it is with life and relationships in general, once I started diving into who I was through Jesus, through God, through that relationship, then life started to change, then a better understanding and an identity factor, which I think is the main point for so many people, is identity. Who are you? What are you on this earth to do? What's your purpose? And what can you do and contribute to the ones around you? So it wasn't until I was sober that that relationship began, and it's still growing, and I'm still learning, and by far do I not have all answers. But, oh man, am I so much better, full of joy, full of peace, full of serenity? Absolutely.
I love how you said that, because, I was born and raised Catholic, but you have these aha moments, and I think a lot of people, you always hear people think, like, how is there a God when bad things happen? But it's like, it's in those times when you have your darkest moments and you feel like you're alone, that it's like, when you can really look at, like, oh my God, what's going on here? I have to look at myself. I have to face myself. I have to work on myself. But this is a gift from God, because he's making me a better person and he's teaching me something, which, again, for a lot of people, they don't get that, like you said. And same thing for me. It's like, there's so many more things. When I get hit with, some bad news or, something that really, weighs me down, it's like, I know I'm not going to be there forever. And I know that whatever it is God put in my life, and it will all work out, and it will work out for the better, and I'm going to become stronger and wiser. So I love everything you said. And I want to go into the emotional piece that, a lot of times addicts are covering up. They don't know how to deal with emotions. I mean, how was your relationship with your wife emotionally, like intimacy-wise? I think a lot of people think intimacy is sex, and it's not that. It's emotionally, like, opening up. I mean, this is the person. This is your best friend, the person you're going to be with till the day you die. And, being able to open up to them and share those vulnerable parts of you that you're scared to share. Like, here you are telling us that, how you felt you weren't accepted when you were younger. And then, when you had the alcohol that gave you the power and you felt better and your stuttering went away. Like, were you that type of person that just emotionally shut down when you were sober? And then even in the 12-step program, which we haven't even gotten to, do they have counseling and therapy there for you to help you kind of, handle your emotions better?
Yeah, and Listen, specifically with alcoholics, which that's who I can talk to from experience, you know, I revolved all things around alcohol. Oh, I'm having a bad day. Well, at least I get to drink at 3:30. Oh, I'm having a great day. Oh, I'm going to drink at 3:30 to celebrate. Oh, there's nothing better to do. I'm going to drink. So what happens over the years of that is that emotions are suppressed. You don't deal with them. Alcohol becomes your emotional, your stress relief, your, and now let's even take that a step further. I've even had to back off the throttle after I became sober with fitness. Fitness can become an addiction. Food can become an addiction. Yep. Sex can become an addiction. All these addictions can start stirring up when you don't replace it with the true calling in, I think, everyone's life, which is that relationship with God and that identity, that understanding of self, which
Amen.
Comes from that relationship. So whenever I opened up and began to say that I had a problem, huge step, which I think everybody with whether it's addiction in the fitness, like I said, or drugs, heroin, it doesn't matter. It's that emotional suppression with something outside of self. So once I began with my relationship with my wife after I sobered up, man, we had a great relationship. We loved each other, but the intimacy has just been unbelievable. It's when you're able to we've both grown. We were both also, like I said, believers in God. We went to church. But once the faith and the spiritual connection between two of us, which is what marriage is, you know, you join as one. So when you can truly start connecting and experiencing that on a level that is only known supernaturally through this spiritual connection, my God, thank you for that, because that is really what life is all about, connecting in those manners with ones around you. Once you became a new person, once you become changed, it affects and touches everyone around you. I mean, I've got a Bible app on my phone that my six-year-old son wants to read whenever we're driving in the car. We pray every night. We talk about open relationship. How can we discuss life? How was your day? Before I drank, I came home, I drank. I got a service call I got to do. When I'm really going to the bar and expecting not to be home probably until 12 at night. I mean, life changes when you're able to voice out what you've probably been thinking about for so many years. When you do have a problem, it's not who you are. Who you are is inside of you and a relationship with a higher power, a relationship with a spiritual connection with that creator, with that person that put you on this earth and gave you a God-given right to establish who you are and affect people around you. And that's the journey that I've been doing and trying to figure out with Second Chance Lifestyle, what my path and my journey has been since I've really 2010, whenever I won the bodybuilding.com spokesmodel competition. I really stepped into a new way of life I did not know existed. I mean, the fitness world, holy cow, you know, Nicole, it's crazy, but
yeah.
Just like life, there's good people, there's bad people, there's,
yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, what business you're in, what job you have, there's,
always good, there's bad.
If there's a God, if you believe in God, you've got to believe in the devil, you've got to believe in evil that's always attacking you as well. So there's that constant struggle, that constant fight for balance in your life, and that constant, trying to better yourself through doing right things, by bettering yourself, by bettering others, then things and the universe starts to line up for you.
Yep. Okay, we are going to take a break, Ben. This is getting so intense. I love it. Back to you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app. If you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You're listening to Lifestyle 360. To reach Nicole Monier or today's guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Nicole at NicoleMonier.com. Now, back to Lifestyle 360.
I'm talking with Ben Booker today on Overcoming Addiction, a Second Chance Lifestyle. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there listening today who've actually had a second chance in life to turn yours around. Or maybe you're struggling with something now and this is just such an inspiration to you. So we kind of talked about his journey in the beginning through childhood and, you know, going through having an accident, a DUI, marriage, and then kind of an aha moment. But now here's the good stuff that I want to get to, and how here, you know, Ben was in HVAC, plumbing and electrical, and this is the path now that kind of came into his lap, and he's out there in the fitness world inspiring, motivating, and, you know, helping people with his business called A Second Chance Lifestyle. So, Ben, I want to kind of talk about how all this kind of came about for you, and even, you know, I see you on Facebook, you're flying to LA, you got these videos, it's just like, bam, 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 all this good stuff is happening to you, and, you know, you're on fire, so please share with us this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, God's timing isn't my timing, that's for sure. One thing I've had to learn, and I still continually struggle with, but in 2010, when I won the face spokesmodel through bodybuilding.com, and started developing that relationship, I literally came from Central Illinois as a plumber and flew out to LA for the first time and won a competition that landed me a cover of Iron Man magazine. So it was a complete just shock to me of an experience in itself that I knew nothing about. So from that day forward, I'd been sober for about 6 years then. So I have developed a new way of outlook on life that I really try to pay attention to the details and the path that God puts down in front of me. And I prayed about it and really, you know, went through this process of, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I knew the fitness world was where I was supposed to be. How can I make a living doing what I love? And, you know, Central Illinois, I have family, I'm a father of three, I'm working for my dad as a plumber. So it was a constant just grind of, listen, I'm going to become a personal trainer. Great. I'm a cover model. Great. But that doesn't pay the bills. I can't be traveling all the time. I've got a mortgage. So it was out of that necessity came Second Chance Lifestyle, a company I created to really give people a second chance through fitness, a company that understands all the values that I stand for, which is no matter who you are, or where you come from, fitness can be that vehicle that takes you past that line and gives you that second chance on life. You become fitter, you become mental, emotionally, and spiritually fit through the process that I've created, my group training model. And out of that came a patented product, which I'm in negotiations with a company, which I can't talk about right now, but it's just amazing what God has put in front of us. Out of one of my programs that I created, a now partner, Travis Coombs, and I have built a gym from the ground up. It'll be the first Second Chance Fitness 24-hour gym where we plan on implementing the model of training that I believe creates success and life-changing transformation with a group of 8 to 12 people that really takes on a journey of physical experience and emotional, mental, and spiritual growth. We will meet every week as a group, discuss not only nutrition, emotional, but spiritual fitness and how it relates to the physical self. So this gym, this product that I created, this Second Chance Lifestyle, and then I also, in the mix, was working with Mason Bendewald, who's the producer of P90X. He's the director of Mega Mace, and he works with a company called Daily Burn. Together, we developed and already shot out in L.A. at Jim Henson Studios, which is the original Charlie Chaplin studio. It was just amazing.
Very
the
cool.
production. It was we developed a 12-week program that is they're editing now and will be available on Daily Burn in about probably 2 or 3 months. Called, get this, it's called Live to Fail, LTF. So it's based around my struggles, the principles of muscle failure, and how with two sets of light dumbbells and a plyo box, full 12-week program that I designed and created for anybody to do in home. It's streaming online fitness. It's just going to be amazing. So I, you know, message to people what failure truly means and what failure, if you can embrace it and expect it, how you grow from it and how it creates the God-given purpose you're put on this earth to become. You've got to sometimes experience those failures to grow. You have to embrace those failures. Just like me, you know, I've failed at being a husband. I've failed at being a father. I've failed at being a good friend at times. But that doesn't define you. That doesn't make you who you are. What it does is gives you an opportunity to learn from and grow from. We all make mistakes. We all fail. But it's about overcoming those mistakes and failures that really puts the foundation down for life-changing and amazing purpose on this earth. I think that's what we're all longing to become is, you know, worth who, finding that identity, finding that, you know, what's that purpose for us? Who are we? Why are we the way we are? I think everybody has that longing question, you know, of how do I, what am I supposed to do here? What, you know, and that's where faith and that's where that relationship that can get started through a relationship with God and understanding higher purpose, higher meaning in this life. And if you get to that place, I'm telling you, from my experience, if I would have wrote down 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 days ago, the bigger picture, what I think my grand life would be, it wouldn't compare to what God has had in store for me. I mean, what's happened and come out of just walking one day at a time, taking a step in faith, really searching for, you know, true purpose and trying to affect those around me by becoming better from the inside out is really what's led me on this path.
I love it. So just everything you're saying is so inspirational. So how often are you doing motivational speaking? Are you just doing it locally? Are you being flown places or are you still doing it?
Yeah, I, you know, my biggest one that I went to and it was so exciting. We, Nellis Air Force Base out at out in Vegas. I spoke with Colonel Barish. He had commander calls. He's the commander of the Air Force Base out there. So I spoke with all the Air Force on 3 different commander calls, and it was awesome. Shared my story. We talked about Life of a Warrior, which is a new program that they were putting together. And I also had a big, huge group training session with hundreds of people that showed up
Very
for an
cool.
hour and. That's what I like to do. I'm talking about going to Texas to the other Air Force base. I do travel. I love speaking to big groups, to the military especially. Anybody I can share my story with in hopes to touch or change their way of thinking is a real passion of mine.
And this Razor Hybrid Fitness, how did you come up with that?
It was out of the necessity that I speak of. We were wanting to brand Second Chance Lifestyle on fitness equipment, and it was out of the ab roller, which I've used for years. It's been around for years. I said, what if we separated those two wheels? Because there's just two wheels they put together with hand grips. I said, what if we separated that two wheel? What if we made that handle able to rotate? What if we made an attachment point that you could attach to a cable? And then it just kept going. So I tested it, and I implemented it into my already existing program I've done for 10 years. What we were experiencing were better results, better actual lifts and techniques that develop the core with the body part you're training, and it just got exciting. We got 3 people that I brought in to test it with me. That 3 people turned to 12. 12 people turn to 50, and out of those 50 people in the test group, we have amazing transformations. And this full 12-week program and product came up in the process. We've, you know, I got an investor and a manufacturer, and ever since then, we've been really working on trying to get this to market in a big way. And like I just said, we just landed a big meeting that's coming up the 28th. I'm really excited about, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think that's just another piece of the puzzle that's really starting to come together.
Good. I'm excited for you. So people can purchase your product at your website. Is it in stores anywhere or online at any other sites?
Yeah, you know, right now it's online, bodybuilding.com. If you look up Razor Hybrid Crossover, we're on Amazon, we're on razorhybridfitness.com. And if you Google Ben Booker, or if you just type in Razor Hybrid Fitness, or Razor Hybrid, it should come up. And it's a product with a 12-week program behind it. And it's just really, really a high quality 3-year warranty product that we put together that's tested and proven by me. And it's just great.
Awesome. So I want to talk just a little bit about the 12-step program. I want to go back a little bit. And, you know, I think that, and again, you would know better. I can't say that. But did you feel ashamed, you know, having to tell any family, friends, or coworkers that, hey, you know what, I'm going to this 12-step program? You know, how was that for you, going through that whole process?
Oh, absolutely. When you, especially in the beginning, I couldn't do it. It was embarrassing. It felt like I wasn't worth, you know, what I thought it was worth. It was a very humbling experience. I had a lot of shame, regret, and remorse. And it was a process that I had to go through. I think it's a process that's almost absolutely needed. I look at a 12-step program for an alcoholic and for addicts as just something that you have to do. I truly believe that. I think that it brings you down to reality, for one, and it has to. There's a process that you know, you admit you're powerless. I really didn't have power. I tried for years to control. I tried different means of controlling it. And then as you go through the steps, you start discovering bits and pieces of you that you didn't realize existed. And then, yeah, whenever I started telling other people, the reaction was kind of, it wasn't what I expected, which is what we do and what I do and what alcoholics do. You put this scenario in your head that you think is going to be the reaction of so many, and you can worry uh-huh. about it, and you can think about it. And then when it happens, it's nothing like you thought in your head. It's kind
exactly.
of funny, but people know. But people, and then sometimes you don't even have to say anything. One of the best things that a guy that was recovering, I mean, that had many years with me, said, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is just hold your head up high and walk around that your town and be a different person and smile. You don't even have to say a word. People will see it. And then that brings change and questions. And then you know, you don't have to announce it to the world. You just have to change from the inside out and start the process of change.
No, yeah, it's so true what you're saying. And I guess also here with the Body Space Spokes Model Contest, what truly was the reason why you entered that contest?
Oh man, well you know Ryan DeLuca over there, he's the man. He's he created that bodybuilding.com, and his main goal is motivation and inspiration and transformation. I started posting pictures from literally my chin down, like not, I was kind of embarrassed. I didn't want to show my face.
Somebody, well, your abs are insane.
yeah, and so a guy on Body Space, Tight Slick One, he says, you need to enter that contest. And I was like, all right, I'll enter it. And so then there's my first picture of my face with, you know, my shirt off. And I put my story in, and I did a little video clip. And I entered it, and I got chosen. And they flew me out, and I wound up winning that thing. Before posting pictures on Body Space, I wasn't even a Facebook member. I mean, I literally, after I won, became Facebook out of necessity. I mean, that's how no experience whatsoever. So I entered it because someone talked me into it, and I had a felt like I was having a calling and I wanted to inspire and I wanted to motivate people. So I just did it. And look what happened, right?
Yeah,
Go
ahead.
If I wouldn't have entered that, you know, bodybuilding.com, one of the best companies in the world, they're the biggest company, fitness online community, and that was my first competition. That was my first ever, you know, entering of a contest, and I won. So blessed by God, glory to God that, you know, I entered it and I won, and the plan was set forth, and I kept searching ever since then to what I'm put on this earth to do, and what I try to do is, you know, I do my praying, I do try to surround myself with good people that want to bring out the best in me, and I have the same friends, even though, you know, they drink and I don't, that I'm still accepted. I accept them. We still grow together. I have new friends. I have new experiences. I have new relationships with people that are just unbelievable. And life, it can be a new beginning. It doesn't have to be an end. It can be a new beginning. And that's what happened to me. I was presented with a new beginning the day I made that choice to quit drinking. And what set forth after that has been nothing short of a miracle. And, you know, I tell people, if you don't believe in the supernatural of how God can heal, well, then you don't know my story, because He removed the desire to drink, the desire to need a drink. He removed that from me. And there was a time in my life when I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think that I could be anybody else than who I was at that moment. The truth is it can happen, and it happens all the time. There's so many stories like that, and opening your ears, your eyes, and being able to actually see that is another skill set in itself. It's amazing once you're able to start doing that.
Your story is great, very empowering. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back again with Ben Booker.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What does success mean to you? Is it being just like the person on the other side of the fence where the grass is supposedly greener? We harbor too many feelings of envy and suppressed anger targeted at others, and it's holding us back from our success. Tune in to Wealthy Thoughts with Richard Levy. Just by listening, you'll be empowered to make positive lifestyle changes to live the successful life that you deserve to live. Wealthy Thoughts can be heard every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You're listening to Lifestyle 360. To reach Nicole Monnier or today's guest, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Nicole at NicoleMonnier.com. Now, back to Lifestyle 360.
I'm back with Ben Booker, and we've been talking about overcoming alcoholism. And today he shared his very empowering life story and journey on alcoholism and having a second chance lifestyle. And Ben and I are both in the fitness industry. We both work for bodybuilding.com, and we both had so many, you know, different avenues as far as competing and businesses. And but the one thing we both do is we personal train. I work for Lifetime, and you know, he's got his own gym now, and he's had a lot of experience there. But one thing we've kind of discussed here and we want to talk about openly is how oftentimes people, if they're addicted to something, they're going to turn to something else. And a lot of people who are in the fitness industry are turning there to the stage or even to the gym as their outlet instead of turning inward and facing their emotions. So you've got a lot more knowledge on this because you've gone through, you know, everything that you've gone through with the 12-step program and even, you know, your own life journey. So I want to hear words of wisdom and inspiration for you and for the other people listening. So they kind of know, like when I'm with clients, a lot of times I meet with them and I'll suggest, hey, you know what, you need some counseling on top of working with me because you've got a lot of emotional baggage. I have emotional baggage that I've had to work through. You know, I've had 12 years of therapy that these people need to work through these issues where it's like you can lose the fat, you can gain the muscle, you can win the trophy, you can, you know, perform, you know, be in this endurance event, but it's like you're still not going to be good enough or you're not going to feel good enough if you don't work through that emotional baggage.
Absolutely. One of my lines I love saying to people is, you know, fitness should enhance your quality of life. Take it over. What people often do, even I did, I went through a 6 months to a year, my wife might tell you it's a little longer than that, where when I sobered up, I got into lifting and it was like something I just had to do. It kind of became my, you know, if looking back, it kind of replaced alcoholism, which in the beginning, especially dealing with the 12-step program, hey, it's better than not drinking and it's better than not doing, you know, torture to your body, whether it's drugs or other things. But the hard reality and the truth is, and that everybody, whether you're in fitness or not, but especially in fitness, is finding that balance. We all are looking for that balance. How do you go to a job, be a father, be a husband, get fit, and stay healthy and not let one of those take over? It's a common theme for mothers, right? They give and give and give, and then they're out of shape, and they don't have the time to give to themselves. It's a common theme for people that, like you just said, get into the fitness, get onto the stage, and that becomes their like addiction, that becomes who they are, and they're constantly involved in whatever it takes, not only in the gym, but the food and the preparation and the I got to do this, I got to do that mentality. I experienced on some level that in many different ways. It was for a small spell, it was gambling after I quit drinking. It was, like I said, the gym. And what in my experience, what I love telling people and try to get to them is, all right, first things first, when you come to get fit, let's focus on finding you the program that you're going to like, going to get you fit. Because you've got to like coming here, and whether it's the experience, whether it's the feeling it gives you, which is amazing when you get a pump or get the endorphins that are shooting from fitness, you've got to start enjoying that, especially someone that's never done that. Then, step number two would be, now, let's start diving into a little nutritional. Let's start talking about nutritional. So the balance truly is the physical, the mental. If you're looking at a circle and a graph, all of them deserve each piece of the pie, none bigger than the other. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, nutrition even in there. And those, you need to start working on a process of making that balance and forming an ideal schedule that allows for that. Because listen, if I'm not fit, I can't play with my kids. If I'm not fit emotionally, I can't meet the kids of my need, the needs of my kids. If I'm not fit spiritually, I can't lead as a father needs to lead a household to raise my kids. If I'm not fit nutritionally, shorthanding my family, my kids, my people around me as giving them what they need to be strong and healthy. So it all ties together. And that's easy for me to sit here and say, but I get challenged with that every single day as well. It's a balance and a fight that everybody struggles with. But first things first is what I believe, especially because it's who I am, that when people come to me or people come and step into a gym for the first time or they're looking to personal train with somebody, is absolutely, you're here, we need to dive into that bit. But what happens when you take your body past those points that you didn't think you could go? Your mind comes with it. That's when people start opening up, and that's when walls start breaking down. And at that point, like you just said, yes, absolutely, you need to go to a, maybe you might need to go to a counselor. But bottom line is, it's an identity factor. Who are you? Why are you here? Who are you going to be, and how can you affect those around you in a positive way? That's the spiritual aspect of fitness that is truly missing in so many different aspects of training, where people get caught up in the physical and that endorphins and that need to stay fit. That's all great, but it's just a piece of the puzzle that needs to be put in there with your emotional growth, your spiritual growth, with your mental growth. The fitness is all those aspects coming together as one. Because at the end of the day, you could do one, two, three of those things, but still not be whole as a person if you're not able to work on all of them at the same time. So one thing can start taking over your life, just like alcohol did. Fitness can start taking over your life where you're leaving people in the dust, when you're leaving things in the dust, emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs of others. So it's that balance that we're constantly fighting for as human beings to find and try to develop. And I believe it can start with fitness. And that's really my mission of Second Chance Lifestyle, is first and foremost, let's get you in that door wherever you're at, start getting fit, and then doors start opening around you where you can actually start diving into those mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects.
Baby steps, baby steps. So we are almost done here with this Power Hour. I want to really quickly have you share a website. I know people can find you on Facebook. If you can just kind of give a shout out to where people can reach out to you.
Absolutely. I have a few different websites. Easiest thing to do would be to Google Ben Booker. Just Google Ben Booker. But secondchancelifestyle.com, all spelled out and in words, is one. So that's secondchancelifestyle.com. You can get a hold of me there. And then also razorhybridfitness.com. That's my product page. And we're doing exciting things, many things. If you want to get a hold of me, I try to get back to every single person that inquires, and I'd love to help out in any way I can, whether your business come speak, help you out with whatever it may be.
Thank you so much, Ben, for sharing your story with us today. And it was
thank
a pleasure talking
me.
To you, and hearing a lot of this stuff. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Next Tuesday, I have Karen Calabrese on. She's Chicago's holistic lifestyle queen and raw restaurateur. And we'll be hearing her own personal journey and the lifestyle changes she made and how she made all of her dreams come true of becoming a holistic teacher and more. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for Lifestyle 360. Please join Nicole Monnier for another edition of our program next Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll see you next week.